What's up, Connor?
How are you doing? Your eyes are just popping.
Thank you.
Today.
It's this navy. Wow, I just felt like a beautiful breeze from the wind.
Oh,
wow.
Do you feel like I live in a treehouse?
Yeah, this tree is beautiful.
I know.
That the boys at home cannot see. You said you had a lot to tell me today.
Oh, really?
That was the first thing
I've
you said to me when I walked
in. I had a relapse on Barry's boot camp. I love it there. I love it. I'm going
oh
back.
Oh my God, this is a Boys Club exclusive. Really?
I'm back in, baby.
You
Let's
know, as of maybe
go.
A week ago, you were really hounding them.
I know. I was hounding them.
You
I
went in there,
Lindsay
the lights were
up,
off.
I pretended to care about it, and it was like, but I didn't mean it, and now I
mean Now you mean it. Okay, so what happened? Tell me the story.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. Here's what I'm going to say to you. I went because I was just like, I have to go see just like what this is. And like sometimes it's just nice. I haven't gone in truly like a year and a half or something.
Okay.
And but oh my God, fitness is so complicated to me though, because like when I was in there, I was like, this actually is so important to my history and my past. Like when, like 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
probably six years ago, I was like, I went every day in Chicago.
Okay.
And I didn't even go for free. Like now I go for free because of my like other job.
Right, right,
so
right.
So like, I just go there because like whenever there's an open spot, and no offense to their business, there's an open spot. Like
mm-hmm.
I don't know, they're
mm-hmm.
killing it. So like I'm in there. And, but like when I was 25, 24, I would go every single day because I had a legend membership or like a legendary membership, which is where I paid like $400, $300 a month. I know.
Holy shit.
I know, to go every day.
To go run in the dark
every mm-hmm. single day. And it was just, I don't know, it was so fascinating. Like, is the workout good? I don't think at all. I don't really, not at all.
Okay, so.
But it is an interesting vibe.
I told you this. The last time I was in LA, I walked by the Barry's West Hollywood, WeHo.
Dangerous.
I was like, that is maybe the scariest place in the world.
Because that's not what needs a gay. We need gay spaces, but just not
not Barry's WeHo.
Not in WeHo.
No, Barry's, that makes me nervous.
You tell us when you're in Anchorage and we're going to go there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you're in Anchorage, we'll send money.
Barry's Anchorage, we're coming. Okay, so are you going to start going there now, you think?
Yeah, like I was going to go today and then I was like, actually, you could run on a treadmill at the gym that's 10 minutes from your house. Like,
yeah.
We're Betty Gilpin. If it's good enough for Betty, it's good enough for you.
At the rate that we are dropping that Betty Gilpin goes to your gym, we're going to have to ask
she
her.
She also
on the
goes
pod.
To this coffee shop over here. She walked in like she didn't know what it was. It was like, Betty, it's a coffee shop.
If anybody finds Betty shop? Gilpin, they're going to find this podcast and they're going to tell us it was our fault.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Don't look for Betty Gilpin. She doesn't want to be found, but she might be looking for directions. So you
okay.
might help her because she is this kind of always her vibe. She's always walking around with sort of like, she's dressed for much colder weather than
mm-hmm.
it is. And kind of like a big flannel and a backpack that's like giving Cheryl Strayed hiking the PCT post-heroin.
Sure.
So like that's kind of how she wanders. What street, I won't tell you.
Okay.
But it was really interesting to see her outside of the gym.
I wonder if she's like running lines for O'Mary when she's running
in her
treadmill.
Head,
yeah.
In her head. Yeah.
All right. Well, keep us updated on your Barry's
I'm
journey.
I'm fucking back. I think that workout makes literally no sense. I'm not a genius.
But he doesn't need it to make sense.
It doesn't make sense at all. But was I happy that I went there? Yes. Is it a lot to run 2 miles? Yeah. You run 2 miles over the span of like an hour. And then, when what you do with the dumbbells is like, no offense, it's like insignificant. Like it just is. Like,
so the purpose of this workout is it's like a high intensity interval training?
You know, I guess so. When you look at it like that, yeah.
Okay.
I guess it's true. I was thinking that like my heart rate is elevated when we're in the weight section. But if you're trying to build muscle doing that, it's like these guys are on steroids. Like,
sure.
And they should say that. If we're going to be mean, they need to tell you when they're on steroids.
Uh-huh.
I need to know.
Yeah. Well, you can't advertise like if you do this workout, you're going to get a body like this when the answer is really steroids.
Well, that's like those guys that teach spin that have like the most sculpted bodies. And I'm like, no, you do not do cardio 8 hours a day as your job. And then you have you're on drugs.
Yeah, for sure.
You're on drugs.
This is your body. This is your body on drugs.
Like, remember that guy on saying, exactly, that we should do drug safety for children. But like that guy.
But it's just against steroids.
That's what we need. Say no to steroids. Say no to steroids.
We're going to little gay boys across the world.
Say no to steroids.
You will be asked to take steroids, and we are here to tell you to say no.
Say no. Unless, yeah. Well, and then, because that guy that would always end the soul cycle class be like, can you believe what you just did on a Monday? It's like, I'm a gay guy in New York. I do believe I finished a high-intensity, low-impact workout. Like, I do feel like I'm a good candidate for that.
That's just a regular Monday for a gay guy in New York.
It feels like what we do.
That's funny.
And then the other thing I'm going to tell you right now, because you don't have any boys clubs, I'll take yours.
I have one, but.
Oh my God, fine.
But no, but you go. Continue.
Yesterday, I went to Target, and I've never cooked anything. I've never turned my oven on. Do you know this?
Yes.
I've never turned my oven on. And yesterday I was like, I can't live like this because of my morning. I'm doing the artist way.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, I should write. And it's like, no, but what if you solved another problem? And which is like, not nothing. So
yeah.
So like, do I feel more creative? No. But what I did was I was like, I need to be able to cook. So I went to Target. I bought pans and I bought chicken and I bought vegetables and I like made myself dinner. And I bought that rice you told me to get.
Oh my gosh.
That rice you told me to get.
Yeah.
I got that rice you told me to get.
Congratulations.
I felt really like it was really wild.
No, that's incredible.
Yeah. Like I cook now. I have pans. Jackson, last time he was here, said I had a lot of dishes in the thing. I got rid of all of them.
Wow.
breath. I have a dis. Oh, sorry. Too fast. Oh, really? I'm talking too fast?
Well, I mean, I think that's pretty standard.
Sometimes I don't want to tell you. I don't.
But I'm very. I'm genuinely very happy for you that
Are you.
Are
you mad at me?
No, not at all. I'm genuinely very excited for you that you cooked for yourself.
Thank you for saying that.
It's really difficult. I hate cooking. I don't hate it, but I'm bad at it, and I find I run out of things to make in about 3 seconds.
I feel like you're always eating something that you cooked.
No, I mean, I think I know how to make like 2 things and mostly crock pot meals because those are
you
easy.
You make pasta, you make that chicken.
True, I did make you that chicken one time, didn't I? Yeah.
I don't know. You do that thing where you put the rice in and then you mix the other thing with it too.
Yeah.
You're always eating a carrot.
I do love carrots. I'm gonna turn orange. What's that called again?
Keratinemia.
Keratinemia, thank you.
Which you can get for also.
Oh, I thought you were giving me a high five. Okay, wait, I have a boys club.
What is that?
Okay, my boys club for this week is jewelry, and specifically men's jewelry, because I feel like, I mean, I never really knew where to go for like accessories like that even before I transitioned, and not that I was ever really that feminine, so I don't think I was looking for a lot of jewelry, but any jewelry I had was like gifted to me or like, I don't know, whatever, from my mom or something. But I went to Missouri, not a sponsor,
downtown.
Shout out, Brooklyn somewhere, and I got myself some jewelry because I needed it to go with an outfit I needed for an event, and I
Wait,
really...
Mouth, how much you spent? I won't judge you.
I'll tell you straight up, I spent like $200, I think.
Incredible.
Maybe a little bit more.
Incredible.
But I will say something crazy about it. I bought silver jewelry, and I kind of wanted gold, but I was like, oh, I guess I don't know, and the price difference was like $500.
Between silver and gold?
Yes.
What does it make you think of 30 pieces of silver?
Mm.
Judas, he sold out his friend for 30 pieces of silver.
That's not where
And if it was gold,
it's Lenten season,
gold,
boys.
So
happy
much more.
Easter. Oh my God, this is coming out after Easter. He is risen.
I don't get why silver is so. I think people are sleeping on silver.
I like silver. I like my silver
I'm
jewelry.
Not wearing
I was
it.
Just amazed by the difference in price. Anyway, but I have noticed because I have an earring. I have one little earring here. And I coach children and often girls' teams. And they love to be like halfway through the season, be like, when did you get that? And I'm like, I've had it the whole time. And then when I tell them I got my ears pierced as a teenager, that it like blows their brains open because they don't really know what to make of me.
Because of a gender thing?
Yeah, totally. They're like,
you can live in Brooklyn. You can do everything right.
I know. And you can raise your children in Park Slope and they will still be gender terrorists. But anyway.
Disney Channel.
So my boys club, I guess, is men wearing jewelry, but also men who know where to go for jewelry. And boys, if you're listening and you've got some good
I know where. Go to
please.
Catbird.
Okay, Catbird.
Here's the thing.
That's the...
I don't know if that's very manly there. I feel like this is kind of girl. Like, this is kind of, you know what I'm
Well,
saying?
Jewelry's pretty androgynous, I would say. I mean, it doesn't have to be. It can be more feminine.
I think there's something nice about having like a piece of jewelry because it says, someone loves me. Someone was obsessed with me.
And bought that for... And
someone
that someone...
bought this for me. Is me.
Is you.
And Miley Cyrus said that.
Yeah.
I can buy myself flowers. I can go to Catbird.
Mm.
On my last birthday, I went to Catbird. Well, actually, on my last birthday, I went to Tiffany's and was like, they don't have anything for me here. And then 2 months later, I went to Catbird and was like,
but see, that's the thing. It's like with jewelry, like I feel like the only brands I know are like crazy expensive, like a Tiffany's or something like that. And
yeah.
I'm like, or like David Yurman. I'm like, I'm not going to buy that. Like,
no, I'm not going to buy that. I'll wait for someone else to buy me that.
Okay, so Missouri and Catbird. That's all we know.
Go to Missouri, go to Catbird.
And if you have anything else, write in. All right, should we bring our guest
yeah.
in? Boys, we have a great guest today. He is an incredible stand-up comedian. He's been featured on Netflix. He had a show off-Broadway last year that Elliot Page was presenting. He is also going to be on tour on the West Coast in May, so check out his Instagram and website and all that good stuff for the tickets. Boys, we're so lucky to have James Tom on the podcast today.
Hi.
Welcome,
thanks,
James.
For
welcome. Are you a jewelry wearer?
I am, and I actually think this will maybe come up in something I say later.
Okay, great.
But yeah, I always wear a little piece of jewelry. Even right now, I'm wearing this tie, but this is...
Yeah.
This is from my literal childhood.
Oh, I love
that. It has
that.
A J from my literal childhood.
I love it.
That's great.
Wait, does it open up? No.
No, it's hollow on the other side.
That's beautiful.
But like, I like a kind of girly little moment.
Yeah.
And I like what you said, Connor, about like having jewelry means somebody loved you.
Yeah.
At some point, somebody loved me.
Yeah.
No, I love that. Yeah, I just find that
it
I
tells
like...
It a story.
It does tell a story. And I do, and I think this is, and maybe we'll maybe get to this later as we talk, and I'm sure maybe you relate to this, but like, it's also one of those things that like, as I've progressed along, you know, certain aspects of my medical transition or whatever, and I feel just more comfortable to like express something a bit more feminine about myself.
Totally.
I'm finding like pieces of jewelry and things like that are really fun accent pieces, and I'm like into like finding more stuff and playing around with like, okay, maybe that is a more feminine piece of jewelry, but like I feel like I can wear it now, which is
totally
cool. Yeah,
totally. Well, like what you were saying with earrings, because I wear earrings and I feel like that's the thing that makes people like gender me incorrectly sometimes. Uh-huh. But I don't want to not wear earrings,
right?
Like, to me that makes me less myself,
totally,
to not wear the earrings than to have you think I'm a girl because I have pierced ears. Like, mm. I don't really care what you think.
Yeah, yeah. And I also feel like for me sometimes too, because I have it, I guess this is technically like the gay ear for I don't know whoever.
I never know. All ears are gay,
right? I'm like, if you have your ears pierced, that's gay.
That's gay.
Is it camera right? Is it camera left?
Like, there's no right. heterosexual ear piercing.
No, there's like, totally not. Yeah. But mine, I technically is on the right side, I guess. And so I'm like, okay, well, maybe that'll at least give people the nod that, like, I'm queer. So that I just, like, always I'm like, I don't want people to think I'm that would just make me so sad if somebody thought I was straight. Not that that's probably happening that often, but I feel like this gives me my little... One
you gotta
piece.
Wear a little accessory.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
You gotta
yeah.
accessorize.
Like this bracelet, I got it on Fire Island, and when I got it, it had a Fire Island Pines charm on it. What does that even look like? What's an FIP? And then I lost the charm, which felt like a metaphor.
You
for who
lost
I am.
The charm jacking someone off under a dock. flew into the sand.
In the meat
yes.
rack. You like Fire You talk about
I
fire
love
Island.
Fire Island.
Yes, 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 yes.
No,
yes.
I'm extremely toxic.
No, and that's beautiful.
But it's, see, I mean, every summer, we go through this thing every year where we're like, oh, we should go this year. And then every time we were like, oh, we're already too late.
I just realized I was invited.
You have to plan like a year in advance.
Yeah.
It is crazy. Like my house gets put together November.
Wait,
the year before.
Your house? Say their name. I think I was
Ryan Leach.
Wait, okay.
Of course,
okay,
yes.
So
the king of Fire Island.
I was offered a spot in this house for 2 weeks. Are they your weeks?
When is it?
2 weeks.
September 11th.
September 11th. Ooh.
In addition to
Two Towers.
Yes. We'll talk exactly. And another week that is different. May something?
I'm going in June.
So I literally, okay, we'll see you there. Actually,
but
probably
September
not going
is cute. I like the September vibe on Fire Island.
But I bet it's great.
Yeah.
I
part
like
of
it.
Me was like, I can't conceptualize who I'll be then. How can I commit to that?
That's true. Number one, that's totally true. But I like September Fire Island because everybody's more chilled out.
Yeah.
Like in the early months, sometimes these girls are psycho.
Yeah,
you
I'm
know?
Sure.
Like, they've like just been let out of their cage. They're ravenous, yeah. ravenously hungry. And they're looking around and like it can be a little much. In
yes.
September, everybody's like, I'm on acid, like I'm
sure.
sitting down.
Right. We're doing shrooms this time. We're
exactly.
chilling out. Yeah.
We're being introspective.
Totally. Yeah. It feels like June is just, yeah, filled with this bustling gay energy.
Yes.
And Fire Island's gotta be just like bursting at the seams.
And I'm gonna be there actually over Pride weekend, which I've never done Pride on Fire
oh,
Island.
Oh, cool.
Before.
I'm sure that'll be fun though.
We'll
or
see.
Not.
I think it sounds nice to leave New York for Pride.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's the
yeah.
tea.
To go
yeah.
do Pride under the beautiful stars of Fire Island.
Exactly. Where you can escape, because you can't yeah. escape here.
No, you cannot.
I know, like, it's funny, because Fire Island can be so chaotic, but then also you can like kind of wander off to the sea by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And this sounds kind of like, well, he's wandering off to the sea, and now he's dead.
With weights on his ankles.
He keeps walking.
He's got rocks
going.
In his pants, but...
He's getting small out there.
I know. And like, the moon has truly never been... like, there's just no buildings or light... emanating, so it's just like such beautiful stars.
Yeah,
that part I loved.
It is beautiful. I mean, it's funny. It's a funny place because it's funny. Like speaking of the kids that I coach, like sometimes they'll be like, "We're going to Fire Island this summer," and I'm like, "I forgot
that's
that there's
Fire
that's
Island.
A different Fire Island than what I'm used to." But that's always funny. Have you ever been to Cherry Grove side of it?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I've been all of. There's not that much island.
Yeah,
so you can see it. I love Cherry Grove. Definitely different vibe.
Yeah,
kind of giving board games.
Totally, totally.
Yeah, kind of
like
giving
that.
Parcheesi.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I feel like Fire Island is a crazy group text, and Cherry Grove is a really detailed email that goes out at the top of the trip.
You should see these Ryan Leach emails. They're pretty insane. But Nico, have you been?
I have not. Neither of
us.
Do
no, you
want
to go?
I do want to go.
I would be interested to know what your experience would be like on
yeah.
Fire Island.
Yeah, me too. I would be, I mean, because like, okay, so like we went to $3 Bill a couple years ago for Thai tea, which was very fun. But I will say like I was definitely feeling the male gaze like energy.
Oh, well, that's all.
Which was very, like, it wasn't necessarily, like, uncomfortable or anything like that, but it definitely was, like, oh, I'm realizing, it was just, like, going through my head a lot, and I was very, like, whatever. So I think it was, like, okay, maybe in a couple years I'll be ready to, like, jump off the deep dive.
Totally.
But I would love to go, because I think it just would be, like, a really fun experience of gay craze, and I don't know.
There's a lot to learn about oneself on Fire Island, I
yeah.
think.
Yeah. And I feel like I'm still learning a lot about, like, gay culture in general, mm-hmm. and especially gay men. And so, like...
Oh, this is going to be great. Yeah, we're going to have a great episode today.
That man broke up with me 3 weeks later. I was on Fire Island with him. And then 2 months later, we were on Fire Island again, and I was... on mushrooms. First time I relapsed on him, second time I relapsed on drugs. Like, it's literally like, it's a...
Oh, so this was a real story? This wasn't a bit from the video?
No, this is true. I went to Fire Island 2 times. It had to be 3 years ago. So I keep saying that I need to go back to kind of like give... to change the narrative.
Yes.
The fire... I need to be like, oh no, I went and it was really fun and nice. Whereas I feel like actually it's more like both times I went, it was like... Well, the first time was nice. The second time was like...
You went under some pretty extenuating... whatever the word I'm looking
for. Extenuating circumstances.
Yes, extenuating circumstances.
Yes, it was chaotic. Yeah. Like, I don't think... Like, I went to the underwear party and like with like one guy who just was kind of like such a loser. And,
no.
Like,
and you have to go to an underwear party in like a pack.
Yeah.
You need a squad to roll up. Yes. You can't go alone.
You need, you know, like elephants band together to scare away enemies. Like, it has to be like that.
Oh my God. Totally. I feel like he was obsessed with like getting acceptance of like Fire Island
gays. No.
And it's like, I'm your wife.
You can't. You have to go with girls who don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Like, the first year that I went, Aaron Jackson and Josh Sharp were in our house, which was really cool because it gave me a good model for, like, they were like, ugh, the underwear party. I would never go to the underwear party. And I was like, this is a good example of people who are not doing what everyone is doing and they still seem cool.
Yeah. Wait, what do they do instead?
I think they just hung out. I went to underwear.
I went to underwear. You have to go with me.
Say it again.
You should go with me.
I'll go with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll tell them. I got offered one spot, but you're so little. And like,
Thank you.
I'm
no, you can sleep on a couch. You can
sleep
on a
couch.
Wait, will you come?
Yeah, I would come. Yeah, definitely.
Fun.
Oh my God.
Let's do it.
In the Ryan
We've been
Leach
talking
house.
About this forever.
Yes. Oh, it's a huge house. You'll have a
It's
going to
be
sleep.
A week.
Okay, great.
Especially in like September, you'll have a place to sleep.
Yeah. No, let's definitely do it. That'll be fun.
Okay, let's literally
send
go.
Me the dates.
Oh my God.
Okay, great.
Oh, maybe I'll pop up.
Yeah, come on. We'll have
this
games
guy
come.
Who
It'll be great.
Just like stopped, who like hadn't reached out to me in such a long time, was like, hey, how are you? And then it was this. And it was like, oh, so I'm nothing until you need a, you have a house to fill. But I hear saying beggars, it's fine.
And now he's just another gay boy for the beds.
It's all about real estate.
Yeah.
With these gay men.
I know. It really is. It's really a spot to
it
fill.
It really is.
Like an orphanage.
No, I feel like every June I'm seeing like, it's like, it's gay man version of like, I'm going away for 2 weeks and I need you to fill my room. But it's like, yeah, we have one half of one bed on Fire Island for $1,000. Yeah.
How many miles away do you think Fire Island is?
It's not that far away.
Like 5 miles as the crow flies.
Wait.
No, it's like, you know what? I know this actually. It's like 45 miles.
Do
and
you
I know that because of Grindr.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I was thinking 48 miles, but that's really what I was trying to gauge.
No, but that's it's in the ballpark.
Yeah.
58 from right here. Okay. 58 miles
but
from this
But when they're
house.
On Fire Island, Grindr does say that it's 47, 40. That's how you know.
I mean, when are they going to catch the first killer via Grindr?
Are you on Hulu? There's already...
Have they done that?
Oh, yeah. Like, four guys died.
I don't think I can watch that kind of documentary.
I know, it's
I
like too scary.
I think my life will be negatively impacted.
It was called... it's like we finally get representation and it's this. It was called Murdered on the Internet.
That's not specific enough.
It was a man. Yeah, I know. I think of all the people that sat down for a really nice murder show and then were like four gay guys getting murdered by this Grindr
this
man.
This devious app. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say it's called Dahmer.
That's
that
fair.
Would have been a better, that would have been a better.
Cautionary
no,
tale.
Dahmer, but D-O-M. Dahmer.
Oh, no.
That's really scary.
Wait, Connor, I have to tell you something.
I'm nervous.
Your fly is down.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
This
Sorry,
is a Boys Club
just
Live.
To,
no, this
I'm
is
just trying to be here for everyone.
This is doing the work. Helping.
I was nervous about what it was gonna be. I was gonna be like, my parents listen.
Well, now they know.
Yeah, now they know. You've been fly open for a while. Should we get into some boys clubs?
What do you feel like is a boys club that you're not a part of?
I just realized I had to answer this question, so I've only been thinking about it recently. But
no, totally.
I think this is the answer. I think it's drinkers. People who drink alcohol.
Okay.
Are you sober?
I'm not sober. I'm just not cool. And I can't, my alcohol tolerance is really low. And it's always been really low. So, like, there hasn't ever been, it's like, there's no point to me drinking.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, it's a little better now, actually, like, with testosterone.
Yeah.
But before.
I've noticed that, too. I can, my tolerance is higher than
totally,
it used to be.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. But I used to, like, get sick off of a beer. Like, one beer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dang. So, did you, okay, do you partake in other party drugs or things like that?
I'm in my weed and psychedelics era.
Love that.
So sure. I do drugs, and I have done other drugs in my past, but those wild days are over.
Shrooms?
Shrooms, yes. Acid, yes.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Weed. Compare it acid to shrooms.
Oh, God. Acid is like the big granddaddy to shrooms. Like, whereas shrooms, you still kind of... How do I describe this?
You know who you are.
On shrooms, you still have a certain tie to reality.
Yeah.
Acid is like you've walked into a dream. And you know it's a dream, but you're in it. Acid also lasts like 12 hours.
I'm not doing
Holy
that.
Shrooms
cow.
Is like 5 hours, 4 or 5 hours, and then it's done.
Yeah.
And then you can take just a little bit of shroom. You can also take a little bit of acid, but I don't do that because why would you do that?
Yeah. I feel
What's
like
the
it would
point?
Be a really intense.
What's the point?
Yeah.
I did shrooms, and then I went to the Fire Island Dance Festival, which I really liked because it was the only part of Fire Island where there were like women around. And the whole time I was just like, don't scream, don't scream.
Well, how much shrooms did you do?
Apparently too much.
Okay, because I like to do shrooms actually to go out.
I liked them. I did not like being in public on shrooms. I liked doing it and then listening to Evermore in my bed.
Totally.
Yeah.
That's
no,
like an
listen.
Totally.
Yeah. Totally. The first time I did acid, I made everybody listen to folklore.
I became a Swiftie on shrooms.
It was
really
Christmas
did.
Day 2020.
Oh my God.
And
wow.
Me and my friends were all in a cabin in Vermont. And I was like, we have to put on folklore. And everyone was like, no. And then we did it. And you know what? Afterwards, everyone was like, you know what? I kind of like that Taylor Swift album.
Because you entered the album.
Yes. We
yes.
Did. Yes.
Okay.
We did.
It feels
Evermore
like
is really gorgeous on shroom.
It's there. You know, Taylor Swift is honestly great to listen to on psychedelics. People don't want to hear this. People don't want to accept this truth, but she's quite good to listen to.
Well, she's got so many layers to her music, and she's so lyrically interesting. I feel like your brain is open to, like, all... I don't know. I'm sure... And
not
her,
old Taylor.
Her songs tell a story.
Not, like, Shake It Off. Like, you can't listen to that on psychedelics.
Instruments in Evermore especially feel like... Yes. You just hear every instrument by itself so uniquely. It's beautiful.
Evermore and folklore were made to be on shrooms in the forest.
She should go back to that.
She should go back to that. Taylor, if you're listening.
Taylor, we need to trip and listen, okay?
And
the
crowd was screaming more.
More. Okay, so I've only tried... I've tried shrooms a couple times, and I've definitely taken, like, enough to trip every time. But I would be definitely interested in, like, finding the right... Like I'm always jealous of people that know whatever, like, is the microdose that will, like, be fun for going out.
Oh, I literally eyeball it with my eyes. That and I like only do, like, I'm not into, like, shroom chocolates or gummies or what. I almost think this is a thing that ages me. Like, I want to see what it is.
Yeah.
I want to hold the mushroom in my hand.
Well, that's the whole thing about, like, flower and shrooms, like, with, like, weed and shrooms. Like I appreciate that it comes from the earth.
Yes.
That feels very
exactly.
natural to me.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I've only ever done shrooms. So I'm sure you know Damien Kronfeld.
Yes.
His sweet mother grows shrooms and gives them to trans people for free as part of her, which is like that.
I should get to know him better.
Yes, you should. Yes, you should. So I got some from him. From his mom, like a couple, maybe two summers ago, and it was just like straight up like the actual mushrooms, and they taste disgusting, but they are. I feel like that is the best way to do it.
I ball it up in a piece of bread, like when you give medicine to a dog.
Yes, yes, I've seen people do bananas before, and apparently
I like
that works
because of the dosage reasons.
Yeah,
as if who knows what the fuck. I mean, you got this from a drugstore. Like, who knows? A bodega. Like, who knows how.
You don't know that it's evenly distributed.
That's the thing.
I know.
Yeah.
It's like a child ran out to a van and then came back. A child who works at the bodega runs out to a van, comes back in with this chocolate bar, and then, like, it's like, I trust this. I don't know.
I guess.
I don't know. I've never done the actual mushroom. I'm nervous of that. But I guess you're right that it's like. I guess capsules would be safe.
Yeah, capsules would be. Yeah. Like, it tastes nasty for sure, and it always upsets my stomach on the way up.
Mm-hmm.
But I found that if you smoke a little bit of weed, that helps.
Weed helps everything, or makes it worse.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, the last time I did shrooms was Halloween, not this past, but the one before.
I don't know about these choices.
Terrible. It was a terrible choice.
I don't know that you should do shrooms
on Halloween.
I
made such a bad choice. Well, so I did this with my sweet friend Jesse Ballard, and we were like, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to go out. We're going to do shrooms. It'll be so fun. And I think because my stomach was hurting, I was smoking, and I think I was just like in a circle where I just like wasn't paying attention anymore. So I think the combination wasn't good. And then a gay man was screaming at me about musical theater, and I fainted.
Oh no.
Yeah. And it was totally fine, but it was weird as fuck to like come to and still be high on shrooms because I was totally. Like, oh my God, the next 4 hours are gonna be terrible. Like totally. I'm like having this like weird feeling, but
like you're not supposed to sleep. It's not that you're not supposed to. I can't even imagine sleeping on shrooms. Yeah. So the way that you left consciousness and returned to it, I cannot even imagine.
I mean, it lasted about 3 seconds, but it was weird because I was walking. I was like, I'm overheating. I gotta get out of here. And so I was like walking, and I was walking with Jesse. I was like, let's go to the front of the house and like get some space.
Did they think you died? I just made them, Jesse.
No, Jesse did not think I died. But I all of a sudden the hallway started getting like less and less like of this plane, if that makes sense. And it was just getting like more ethereal looking. And then all of a sudden, like ringing in my ears, everything went white. And then I heard somebody say, oh my God, he fell. And then all of a sudden I had people like, oh, I'm going to get him water. And then I was like back and I was awake on the steps outside. So like, it lasted like 3 seconds.
I hate this story.
And see, I have had that happen to me on like 1.5 beers.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
like straight up lost consciousness.
Dang, that's really wild.
Yeah.
That is very low tolerance.
Kind of a blessing.
It sort of is. Because I mean, alcohol is very bad for you.
Yeah. It is very, very bad.
Alcohol, I would never lose consciousness or throw up. I would just go.
Did you black out?
All the time.
Okay.
Is that not conscious?
I guess that's not losing consciousness. Well, I don't know what you would call
it's
that.
It's a plane of consciousness.
There's a plane of consciousness that you leave when you black out.
But what are you, Irish?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Poor Irish.
Built for it.
Irish poor people.
Built for it, yeah.
I wasn't there when he passed out because I went to hook up with this guy who was working at Vice Media.
Classic
at the time.
Classic gay guy. Classic gay guy.
Yes. There was someone within the 45-mile radius.
Who still follows me, but I don't follow him back. Something to consider.
Power.
Yes, if you're listening
play.
To this, you know
I don't
it's about
you.
I
follow you back at him. Congratulations on your new job in production at another company, but I think your new
he
company is
he doesn't follow
not
you,
cool.
But he's keeping tabs, so
but
that's
I have
good.
Looked you up on LinkedIn, and I hope you're doing well, and I think you're annoying. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
How do you feel about, like,
sorry.
Because, like, comedy is such, like, a drinking world and
it
culture.
Is. Yeah,
do you
is.
Feel like that's been, like, a thing to, like, navigate?
Yeah, so, like, that's why I say I think that's, like, a boys' club I'm not part of. Because it's, like, a language people speak, and it's a way people connect to each other that I really just don't think. It's not like I'm sober. It's not like I understood before.
Yeah.
It's like I'm not there.
Yeah.
There are, however, alcoholic stand-ups and drug addict stand-ups.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can relate to the drug addicts.
Yeah.
There's always somebody. There's always somebody for you.
No, totally. Yes, I find, that's one thing I've been very grateful for. They're such good ways in. They are so social, drugs and alcohol, as bad as they can be for you. But I have found that at, like, certain comedy festivals and stuff, like, that's how I'll end up talking to people all night, is I'll smell the joint and I'll walk over there.
Totally.
You know?
No, and weed is a social drug.
Yeah.
So, like, that's why I like weed. And, like, stoner stand-up comics are a whole other thing.
Yeah. It's that's been, like, some of my favorite is, like, figuring that out at, like, I was at Moon Tower last year, and so everybody's in Austin, nobody's whatever, and, like, somebody found weed there, and I was like, okay, I need to find the other stoner comics that are this desperate right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, and it's when people are desperate that you bond the most.
Definitely.
When I was in London to do the Hannah Gatsby special, weed is illegal.
I know. It's the worst part
it
of London.
Still is?
Yes.
Or England. That's crazy.
Which is crazy, because you can drink when you're, like, 15 years old. It's, like, psycho.
They're really weird. Yeah, they're obviously full of indiscrepancies, but
we had to do this insane drug run to finally get the weed. We were there for a week. We got the weed on the last night. The dealer had more cocaine than he had weed.
Oh my God.
Like, he was like, I have mostly cocaine and pills, and we have, like, a little, like, dime bag of weed.
Strange. This is putting you in an unsafe position because of their weed laws.
Exactly.
Now you're in a drug dealer's van.
Yeah.
Like, you should this shouldn't be where you have to go.
I have done a lot of sketchy things in other countries to get weed.
Yeah. And that's one of the things, you know, and maybe this is a sign of my stoner levels, but it is something that I've been like, oh, fuck, like when you travel now, it's like something to consider about, like, oh, yeah, you can't get weed there.
No,
like,
we all have to be careful. And after Brittany Griner,
it's serious. But it
check your bags before you travel internationally.
Yeah, seriously. It's so.
I mean, we can't travel internationally anymore.
That's
so never
true,
mind.
Yeah. So while we're doing the Continental 50, but it is like it's a weird thing that, like, so many, I mean, obviously we're also late to it, like the United States, but it seems like so many countries are, like, really, really, like, I don't know, laid on weed, and it's just like, it's not that big of a deal.
No, it's crazy. It's so puritanical. To find out that they didn't have it in England, I was like, well, you guys started this problem.
Yeah.
Like, how dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you take away our main coping mechanism?
Truly. It's like, we want to just, like, relax and take a little edge off, and that's going to be criminalized? Like, fuck off. Yeah,
I'm really bad on weed. Last time I did weed, I thought my roommate was trying to kill me, but he was trying to help me.
Weed is, she's the mistress. She's my mistress drug. Mm. She's sort of like, you know, she's always there. I take her for granted, and then she comes back and is like, you think you can outdo me?
Yeah.
I'll take you down.
What does doing too much weed look like? You just get kind of
paranoia.
Scared.
I guess paranoia. Yeah. Or just being like, my like heart is beating really fast. Yeah. And I'm like, oh God, like I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
I've made so many mistakes in my life.
Yes.
I've humanized my father. I'm thinking about my father's inner life. Like,
oh my God.
Like, you know, it gets
that's
dark.
Funny.
It gets
totally,
dark.
Totally.
I think my drug of choice is beta blocker. Have you done beta blocker?
Oh, I want to do that so bad.
Oh God, we got to do beta
blockers.
I want
beta blockers.
If I had more than 4 pills, I'm trying to get more, I'd give them to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're actually beta blockers.
When you get the hookup.
I've heard are great for, I mean, you've talked about this, but I've heard other performers say that they're great for like pre-show.
I don't know if it's a drug or actually medicine from God, but you could probably say the same thing about weed.
Yeah.
Maybe these are just medicines.
But the only difference, well, like beta, obviously they're very different, but if you did, I mean, some people can smoke before shows. I'm not one of those people. I would get lost in my set.
I can't do it.
No, but I think like beta blockers is something you could totally take before.
I want to try that so bad.
Yeah. Okay, go
my
to
my fight
kick.
Or flight
com.
Is activated at all times.
No, mine
that
too.
Again.
Kick. No, I didn't realize that until I took a beta blocker. And then when I started taking it, I would always the next day, I'd feel so calm the whole day. Like the morning after I took it, and like I'd be at work and I'd be like nice to everyone, and like I would, like it was very, I think I would get to realize how many things made me stressed. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I was like on a little bit of a beta blocker, I was like, no, it's fine. I said, let them. It's just like, let them.
Okay,
kick.com.
Talk to Dr. Chatbot.
Or gokick.com. It's one of those things you got to get from like an internet doctor.
Totally.
Sure. So beta blockers, is that something you can take every day?
Oh, yeah. You can take it all the time.
It's like an antidepressant. You can take it every day.
Yeah. Swear to God.
Damn.
Cross my heart.
Okay. Good to know.
Cross my heart. Like, your heart might not run anymore, but, like, you can take it every day.
Well, I mean, so that kind of goes with the question of can you take it every day?
It makes your heart
you
rate
might
just,
die,
like,
but you can do fucking anything you set your mind to, brother.
Technically, you can do anything every day if you want
yeah,
to.
Thank you for that really
like
good
so
wisdom.
Low.
Yeah.
So low.
Yeah.
Wait, what do you feel like if you had to say, is it Boys Club that you are a part of?
I think gay guys.
Love.
Okay.
Love.
Wait, that's one for you and one for me.
No, yes.
Oh, wait,
so that's why.
Cool.
Yeah. So
wait,
that's why I'm
so
interested
nice.
In talking to you guys today.
Yeah.
Because I love what you guys are doing. I feel like trans guys and gay guys don't fraternize a lot.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of overlap. Like, unless the trans guy is also gay.
Yeah.
Totally.
In which case there's a lot of overlap and under and et cetera. But we're very similar. Like,
yeah,
I do a bit right now that's like trans guys and gay guys are exactly the same. We all take selfies from down here and we all get into Ubers like, hey. and I think that's real.
That is so
like,
true. That is so true.
Real.
My mom said that to me. I was talking to my mom on the phone, but then I was also at the deli. And then when I went to order, she said, you changed your voice.
Yeah.
Can I have a pound of buffalo chicken? As if the deli guy is going to hate crime me. Like, it's right. Like.
But it's like.
Wait, so you were like, wait, hold on, mom.
hold on, beesh. Wait a second, lady. Yeah.
Hey. Yeah, no, 100%. I love that joke. I also love, like, you have a lot of, I feel like, I saw your last show, and I feel like a lot of your material, we have, like, similar, obviously, threads that we pull at, but, like, something that I've always really enjoyed with your is, like, talking through the progress of going through these different stages of gender and identity as you, like, come into yourself and,
totally.
And sexuality, and, like, getting to see parts of the queer experience through all these different lenses is a really weird thing, and then getting to that point where you're like, okay, I'm a guy, gay guys are guys, I'm a gay guy, I'm also a trans guy, like, where do I fit with this? And it's such a, and it's a scary, which is, again, one of the things I'm so glad that to hear that you love Fire Island, because I think part, like we were talking about before, part of my anxiety was like, oh, am I going to be surrounded by these gay guys and it's going to freak me out?
I love Fire Island, but again, I'm extremely toxic. And you'll find there's like total trans fags about town on Fire Island.
Yeah.
Like, there's people who are like known characters that are around that are trans guys.
I love that.
So it happens.
Yeah. But you're right. We do have, like, there's not a ton of fraternizing. And I wonder, I mean, I guess it's partly because I find that gay guys, not gay guys, excuse me, trans guys fall into, like, two camps. There are gay trans guys and dyke trans guys. And those are kind of, that's in my mind, the kind of bound or the.
I think there is that, but I would go even one more. There's like dyke trans guys, gay trans guys, and then there's like T for T trans fags, and then there's like trans fags that will also go where cis guys are.
True.
And then there's also like straight trans guys.
Yes.
Like hetero straight.
Yes.
And then it's sort of whether that also means like cis women and or trans women.
Yeah.
Like the straightness also kind of takes a different.
Yes.
A
yes.
different flavor.
It's always interesting to me when trans guys, because I would not, I have a girlfriend, I date women mostly, but I also like, I would never call myself straight because that just like is not my life experience or what I feel like I identify with. But it's something that like I find people have a lot of like, they're like trying to figure you out because they're like, oh, what is that? Whatever. And it's like, once you figure out the gender stuff, the rest of it's like, whatever, for me at least. But it is interesting to me when I see like a trans guy who's like very adamantly like, I am straight.
I know.
Unless it's like a safety thing and you're in a different part of the country.
Sure.
I get that.
We love safety. We love safety.
Yes, we do.
We love people feeling safe. I just never, like, I've literally never been straight.
Yeah.
Like, I was gay when I was 13.
Totally.
I was gay when I was 11. So, like, I just don't know what that's like.
Yeah.
But I've had this experience of, like, I was choosing to be in lesbian spaces mostly. Like, I went to women's college. And always kind of being like, oh, my, like, this isn't exactly right.
Yeah.
Transitioning, doing all this. And then in the past couple of years being like, oh, my God, like, I actually feel more comfortable around gay guys, which I just didn't know because I was not choosing to be in places with them.
Do you go to Animal?
I was at Animal with Dylan Adler and Sam O
after
their show the other night.
Love.
My whole New Year's resolution is to go to Animal. I have to go to Animal.
Why is that your New Year's resolution? You can just go.
It's crazy. You're right. Yeah.
If you want to go to Animal, you can just go to Animal.
I'm going
to
go to Animal.
It's good to set resolutions that are achievable.
I'm good. I know. But also somehow that's the hardest thing. I never thought I was going to cook, but I still haven't gone to Animal.
I know. Wow. The fact that you cooked before Animal is honestly impressive.
Really shocking. Yeah. Shocking.
So what you're going to do is you're going to make yourself a big healthy dinner.
And then go to Animal.
Eat it up. Yeah. And then you're going to go to
And
Animal.
Then go to that dark room and be like, oh, I'm just looking for my phone.
Did it come? Sorry, fellas. Is it here anywhere?
Oh, I have to. Oh, no, it's down here.
It's cylindrical and meaty. Is that anything? Okay.
That's
sorry.
Tough. That's a very interesting observation about trans guys, gay guys having a lot in common. Because I guess they both, and not to put this on anyone, I just feel like this might be body negative. I don't know. But like, I feel like there's a similar masculinity stress.
It's about the pageantry of masculinity.
Yes. Yeah.
Specifically the pageantry of masculinity.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
And like even obviously with gay guys it's way more pageant because like these bitches are not, you know, you're seeing all of these like huge built guys on steroids at the gym at Barry's or whatever.
Yeah.
But then they're like, hey girl, like they're not masculine.
Yeah.
They're just trying to appear masculine for each other.
Totally.
I know.
I just saw.
And I love them.
I just saw a screenshot of a Grindr thing on like X or something. And it was like, this guy sent a mirror photo of himself shirtless. And the person responded, sorry, a bit mask for us. And he responded, I'm a fag, I swear.
That's so funny. And that's very flipping the script.
Yeah.
Of Grindr.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, truly. Two masks. For us.
That's
wow.
True. My Barry's instructor, he was like, Lady Gaga's my favorite diva, but I also felt like he was gonna throw me against a wall at any moment. It was very interesting.
Yeah, it is like the pageantry of the sort of like hybrid of the masculine and the feminine and like where those things are.
And I think similarly trans guys are often sizing each other up.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I find that I am always like, my instinct anytime I see another trans guy is to be like, oh my God, another one. Like it just like still gives me this like excitement of like seeing myself out in the world. But it's a weird thing where you're like, I find myself at least trying to be like, I want to give them like the what's up without like making them upset that I like clocked anything or whatever. Right. Or like that it's
like
gonna,
a fraternity handshake.
Weird.
This is my fraternity
yes,
handshake.
Like a.
No, put your thumb. This is my fraternity.
Okay,
handshake.
Just like that's just like holding hands.
Yeah, they think they're so creative.
Gay alert.
I actually did that on a date with a man who was in my fraternity. Then we gave each other the fraternity handshake, and it was like, this can't be love.
I feel like that's flaccid dicks all around now, or maybe the opposite. I don't know.
His dick was so big. He was so hot
and good for him.
He was
for
too
him.
Hot. It was stressful.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. When someone's so hot, they're like,
you can't
I'm
shake
by
hands
this.
With a hot man.
It's no. too. It's like I don't know. I want them to be excited.
Yeah.
About you need to.
As a trans guy, I am very grateful for gay men for many reasons. But one of them being that I find that I, like, over the last couple of years, and kind of unknowingly, even when I was figuring out my gender presentation and, like, looking for, like, fashion things that I liked, I was always looking at gay men. Like, I was always, there was always, like, because they always have better style, better suits, better, you know, than the average straight guy, you know? So I find that there's, like, a lot of my exploration into, like, what this was going to look like for me was a little bit paved by, like, gay men who had the ability to, like, express those things.
Totally.
Yeah.
And do you feel that what you're wearing right now was inspired by gay men?
No, this is inspired probably by dads of the United States. You know, for when I'm going for my more dressy looks. But I
think you look like a writer getting an MFA at Columbia.
Thank you. Yes, I look
not
like
Columbia.
Yeah, somewhere more that we can appreciate.
You look like a writer's retreat in Vermont.
I could be doing. I actually just did a show at Columbia the other night for the students of them and Barnard College, which I love doing historically women's colleges because I always say the same dumb thing where I say, "Oh, I love that. I'm also historically a woman," and they love it every time. That's so dumb. Where did you go to school?
I went to Smith.
Nice, nice, nice.
Yeah, and I say many of Smith College's greatest women are men now.
I'm sure they love this. I love that they love that too.
I love Mona Lisa's smile. Does this mean anything to you?
I need to get more into gay culture.
Was it filmed at Smith?
No, but it was at Wellesley. Is that all women?
Yes, it is.
Wait, the last thing
way
we
to bring up
a
rival. James clearly like really cares.
I know a rival. Anyway,
I feel that our friendship is unique in that, and I think this is true of many trans men. Is that like as a gay guy? Not to make it like so hard for us, but I feel like cis women often have an expectation of what a gay guy is.
Sure.
Gay men have an expectation of what each other are. Mm-hmm. And then straight men, I've never met them. Like, I don't know what that is.
No.
Whereas a trans, it was like, there's no expectation of what I am to you or what you are to me.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I feel that I was allowed to very organically be myself.
Definitely.
In both my masculine and my feminine ways around you. And I hope you're the same.
Yes, no, definitely. Definitely. I feel like, I mean, obviously, we not to get so meta about it, but we started this podcast for, you know, because we were friends and wanted to do something, but it was kind of to you know, talk about gender, boys, men, masculinity and stuff like that, and then other things too. But we always have found that I've found that we have, like, while we have different relationships to masculinity and femininity and our expression of that, it has been like a very safe dynamic for exploring that over the last couple of years, because to your point, like, there's no framework for what we're supposed to expect from each other or what we're supposed to be to each other.
Yeah.
Other than just like, yeah, it's like a very, I don't know, because I don't think we interact with each other the way two straight dudes necessarily do.
Yeah.
Well,
no.
Neither. Yeah, no.
Right.
I mean, that wouldn't make any sense.
But we also
that
don't.
That would be crazy if you went all the way around.
Right.
Yeah.
To just slapping each other on the ass and, you know, giving each other pre-workout.
Yeah.
I guess gay guys do that too, but whatever.
Yeah. Chicken and vegetables. I feel like we're both seers.
Seers.
We see things.
Yeah.
Like that one time we were at the stand and we like observed that interaction between that guy and those girls. And I just don't think that there are other identities that would like clock that in such a way.
Yes. Well, when you're at the stand, you have to have your gay eyes open for all the atrocities.
When you're at any club, you need to be vigilant.
Vigilance is key. That's the number one about a comedy club.
You
vigilance
need to be
is
looking
key.
And listening.
Yes, yes. And paying close attention. Should we get to our last boys
what
club?
What do you feel like as a boys club you want to see in the world?
A boys club I want to see in the world is trans men who dress well.
Love. We're looking at one right now.
Oh, thank you. I have to go to a party after this.
Let James need you to know it was not for us.
I look okay. Somebody told me right before I came here that I'm giving Book of Mormon, so I don't know that it's that.
No, you're not.
I don't know that
that's
it's,
not true.
I don't know that it's that awesome right now. But
it's that does make you should write an animated show about a Mormon who's kind of like a you character that's like has to do mission because he wanted to go to like Aruba or something.
That's fun.
Because it's kind of like subversive Book of Mormon. Like you have a tie clip and tattoos.
I love gay Mormon porn, but
okay, you're at the right place. missionaryvoice.com.
I thought that maybe that was a safe thing to say.
No, definitely.
No, I love, you know, the underwear comes down to here. We yes. love it. We yeah. love it. We yeah. love it.
Yeah. Show us less. Let's imagine more, fellas.
Everything's kind of beige. it doesn't ever all the way come off. I love it.
Yes.
I love it. You gotta keep something for the Lord. I think that if I were to decide, I have no more ambitions. I don't want to do comedy anymore. My dream would be to start like a company that queer eyes trans guys.
Love.
Yeah.
Queer eye for the trans guy.
Me and my friend Mello talk about this all the time. Mello is also a mixed Asian trans guy, but like very femme, very high fashion. And we always say like we should do this together because he knows high fashion and femininity and yeah. I know menswear.
Yeah.
And together we could help.
Wait, that sounds
things.
So
definitely.
Interesting.
Definitely.
I feel like if Kamala won, we'd have that on TV. That's the other
If Kamala won, we'd all be at brunch right now.
If Kamala, we would have that show you just... That's something interesting.
We'd have Queer Eye for the Trans Guy. To give some love to our trans fellas out there, it is difficult, at least I've found, finding sizing.
For sure. No, and it's
totally
not.
Tough.
And like, that's why...
That's why we need this.
This is not me. I am reading people, but I'm actually trying to help.
No, like, totally.
And I understand that it's like, within this system we live in, no matter what you're shaped like, clothes were not made for you to fit.
Yeah.
But there are ways that you can make it work for you. 100%. And it's really less about like what you're literally wearing and more about how you feel about yourself.
Yeah.
And how you conceptualize yourself and then how you can like dress to that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. I have found over the last couple of years as like, you know, clothes were always a battle for me. Like I
totally
always my whole life, obviously. And I'm sure. Yeah. You probably feel similar. But like I found over the last couple of years, I'm just finding that exact thing of like, yeah, like how do I actually want to express myself through my clothing and like all that. And it's been fun to finally actually get to like shop in the men's section and not feel like the deep shame about that or like fear that I'm being looked at when I'm in there. Like actually being able to go to a clothing store feels very good. And I remember being a kid because I was like a little tomboy my whole life and I, you know, or like till like middle schoolish. And I remember being like, when I grow up, I'm going to make a clothing store that's just boys' clothes for girls.
Totally. And I was like, you and thousands and thousands of others have had this idea.
Exactly.
Will you also sell underwear in briefs with no
yes,
pouch?
Yes, yes, yes.
Another thing that we need.
Totally. And I was like, I just remember thinking like, oh, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to find all, and they're going to be in little sizes and it's going to be great. Yeah. But because I know there's now like, there's like, what's that? Wolfang maybe has like women's.
Wild Fang.
Women's plus whatever you want to call like suits and stuff, but there's nothing that's specifically for the trans fella.
Well, there are things, but I'm actually wearing the jacket I'm wearing today is from Both And, which I'm not sure. If you still exist, then people should shop at Both And if they still exist.
Yes.
But I am saying, like, I think we can push ourselves further than simply, like, you know, navy t-shirts that don't bunch up against the hips. I'm like, that's fine. Shorts that fit. Like, that's fine.
Yeah.
But, like, we can even do more to self-express.
Definitely.
Than simply wearing, like, a blue button-up, you know, with little birds on it.
I I also feel that, like, so much of trans men's fashion, clothing, is geared at, like, hiding or, you know, or whatever. And I would love to see, to your point, like, a little bit more of, like, diving in towards expression and being more, like, I don't know, just bolder with choices and open. Yeah.
Totally. And there are amazing ways to dress masculinely for all body types.
Definitely.
There's all kinds of things that'll work for you. Yes. And like to your point earlier about jewelry, I would look at vintage.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I'm big on vintage and thrift.
That's probably the best place to, because it's so hard to, I don't know. It's just like hard, so many pieces of jewelry I find to be just like god-awful ugly sometimes too.
Yes.
Like a lot of stuff out there is just bad.
I have a hard time shopping for jewelry from like contemporary brands just because like jewelry is so gendered.
Yeah.
Like it is really hard to find. And then on top of that, the kind of like Temu Amazon of it all.
Yeah.
Like it's hard to find something that's both high quality and like not trying to do some sort
of gender
thing.
I don't trust anything. I'm like, what's this going to look like in 2 months? It'll be green.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you're the one who keeps buying stuff off the street. Not that that's a problem, but I'm saying if you don't want it to rust.
That's fair. That's true.
But yeah, I should look into some more vintage stuff as well.
Go to Catbird.
Or Catbird.
He went to Catbird. He went to Catbird.
Is Jared even still around?
I'm sure.
Oh, good for
them. Things like that don't go out of business.
True.
There's always going to be a straight girl whose boyfriend goes to Jared.
Yeah, there's always a straight girl who needs to be married ASAP. Oh, my God. Well, Jess.
We also have to fix our hair and facial hair.
Yes. So last time I was at the barber, I got an offer for him to like shape my stuff. I was like, I don't think I have enough to be shaped here quite yet, but
you should say yes.
Yeah?
You should say yes.
Where do you get your haircut?
I had an insane woman named Pixie does my hair and has been doing my hair for almost 10 years. So I have loyalty there. But I, one time when I was in San Francisco, I went for a haircut and the guy offered to shape up my mustache. And it was funny too, cause he was calling me she, and I was like, oh my God, he thinks like I'm like a girl with an unkempt mustache. And he's like, let me help you. Yeah. Because he didn't shave it off. He lined it up.
Oh,
and
funny.
Then when he did that, I was like, oh, I have looked like an idiot this whole time.
Wow.
Because I wasn't doing this.
That's another one of the things that, like, I mean, so much, like, it's so sensitive for a lot of these things. At least I'll speak for myself. Like, you know, like, there's an insecurity I would have if somebody said that. I'd be like, oh, like, does it look bad? Like, you know, like, whatever. And, but, like, you know, 99% of guys that go in there are getting that exact treatment
totally.
Done. And,
yes,
and whatever,
are.
And it doesn't matter. And the guy does that. That's his job. He does it 100 times a day.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. No, and he's had to deal with guys much grosser than you.
Yes, for sure. For
that's
sure.
What I always think. I'm always like, oh, no, this is a treat.
Yes, 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 yes. Yes, I wash my face and my ass and all those good things. Yeah.
Someone who mostly has to touch men is, like, really excited when you walk in the door.
Totally, totally, totally. Well, thank you so much for doing the podcast. Before we wrap, can you please tell the people where they can catch you on tour and where to find you online?
Yes, you can find me online mostly everywhere at JamesTomXO. And you can see me in L.A., San Francisco, Portland, and Seattle starting May 2nd. And if you find me online, you can find the tickets for that.
Incredible. We're going to tag James's
we'll
stuff.
The ticket
It'll be
the
all tagged in the episode on YouTube, on Spotify, Apple Music, all that good stuff. And we'll be back next week. And we have our live show this Thursday. Come to that.
Yes.
Yes. Right?
Yes.
Yes. This Thursday.
Come to that.
Come to that. Boys, thank you guys so much. And we'll see you next week. Bye.